All right, we're once again in parallel computing world. It's been a while. How are you doing, man?
Doing great.
So you've been on Channel 9 before, Dana. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Okay. Dana Groff. I'm a program manager with the parallel computing team. In the past, you've talked to me about transactional memory, but
yes.
I've been working over the last couple of years now with the concurrency runtime, which is a C++ offering that Microsoft provided in Visual Studio 2010.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of these nice templates, C++ templates, are wonderful stuff, to easily be able to express your parallel algorithms. So you can say parallel for, you have concurrent containers that you can just use. And we have a nice runtime. And this, what's wonderful about this runtime is that it allows you to do fine-grained concurrency.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using these templates for productivity. And then, but they're built on a layer that provides scheduling and resource management on top of the operating system's thread. So you can do fine-grained concurrency, express fine-grained concurrency in your algorithms.
Mm.
And today we're going to talk about some of the new work that we've been doing that we actually release in what we call a sample pack or concert extras. You'll hear us say,
cool.
Call it both, right? And what this allows us to do is to provide the header files at any time, right? So we're not now tied to a particular release vehicle. You don't have to buy Visual Studio version next
mm-hmm.
to get these. They're going to be built on the 2010 runtime. And they're just header files, so they're templates. And
cool.
We've got some new stuff that we released last year. We've got some new stuff that we're releasing now. And I think we'll talk about the new stuff first.
Excellent. Well, let's go around the room and introduce people.
So I'm Mike Chu. I'm a developer on the concert team. I think I spoke to you last year about a few years ago about Base Asynchronous Agents.
Yes.
That's my previous project. Now I'm working a lot on the other programming models that we're going to talk about today.
Cool.
I'm Vinod Subramanian. I'm a tester in concert, concurrency runtime,
mm-hmm.
and I pretty much test what Mike writes.
You find all of his bugs.
Yeah.
Right on.
My name is Arthur Luxburg. I'm a devlet on the concert team, and I'm the one who tells Mike what to do.
I love it. Cool.
He is being modest, though, because you actually did come up with the initial prototype.
I'm sure. I mean, dev leads write code, man. Come on.
I used to do that a lot more, but nowadays I still have a few tricks up my sleeve.
So where are we? What are we talking about today?
So we can start by talking about some of the new additions that we're putting into PPL there. One of them, I'll talk briefly about PPL tasks, and then Mike can dive into more details, and then Vinod can talk more about the algorithms that we're adding to PPL. So what is PPL task? Most people are familiar with the concept of task group in PPL.
Mm-hmm.
The central idea behind the task group is you partition your work into independent chunks, you execute them in parallel, and then join them at the end. Many important algorithms can be built on top of task groups, such as parallel for, parallel invoke, and others. There are many other cases where you really want to treat a task as a first-class object. Like you want to create a task, you want to assign it to a variable, you want to pass it into a function, out of a function, you want to join multiple tasks, compose them in various ways. We didn't really have a good way of doing that, so we are adding this now.
Cool.
So I'm going to show a couple of examples on the whiteboard.
Okay.
So let's start with some code that has nothing to do with tasks whatsoever to begin with. So, let's talk about this. F. And then I say G. Well, let's not do that. Y equals G. G of X, right? So you invoke two functions. There is absolutely no parallelism in those two in this code, right? Because this function depends on the result of that statement, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't parallelize it. But there are other things that you can do while this is executing. So one of the ways to explain the difference between the parallelism and concurrency is parallelism is doing the same amount of work faster by utilizing multiple cores, multiple processors. Concurrency can be understood as doing more work in the same amount of time. So, for instance, if you are doing this work inside a GUI application, other things that you might want to be able to do is pump messages. Right? If this happens with the message loop, you actually don't want to block the UI thread while those two are executing, especially if they are long running. So, what you can do with tasks is something like this. And this is the new syntax. This is the new class that we've introduced. Task. Correct me if I misspell something. T. Okay, and then you say return F. Closing curly parenthesis. So for most people who are familiar with modern C++, they already know that this is called a lambda. This is a constructor of a task that takes this lambda as a parameter and then executes it. So what I've done is I've created an instance of the task, right? And then this task is scheduled to be executed. It can start immediately. It can start whenever the available resources are. Concert is responsible for scheduling it. Next thing, I can do more work. Then I can do something like this. I would say, y equals g of gget. This is a blocking call, which will retrieve the result of the task and pass it into g.
Okay.
But the advantage of doing this is that while this task is executing, I can do something else. For instance, I can go off and pump more messages in the window. So it is okay. It's not great, though, because I need to very carefully calibrate the amount of work that I have to do in this segment, right? If I do too little, then by the time I come here, I will enter a blocking wait and still block the main thread. If I do too much, then I will come here too late, and I will not get results as soon as ideal. So that's where continuations come into play. And with continuations, you will do the following thing. Okay, you see task of int t return f. And now I'm setting up what is known as continuation. I say auto t2 equals t dot continue with. And what I do, what I put here is again the lambda.
And you take that.
It takes an int.
It takes an int.
You're right, it takes an int. And I'll explain in a second why. Say int n. Okay? Return g of that n. Okay. So the result of a continue with function is a task, and it's a task of int because that's the output file, the output type of function g. You don't actually have to say task; you can say auto, right? But it is a task, and this is how you can compose multiple tasks together. And now, this is executing asynchronously. This is executing asynchronously. And then you can do more work here. More work. So, as you can see, the advantage is that you don't have to calibrate the amount of work that you're doing. You're just saying, do this work first. When you're done, continue with that work. Mm-hmm. And the result of this task is being passed into the continuation at my value here. So, those two types have to line up. They have to be convertible.
So now for viewers out in the audience that have seen, you know, the big thing we did for PDC 11 for, you know, the managed world, mm-hmm. So the continue with is sort of similar to await, right?
It is, you know, it is very similar to managed task or mm-hmm. PFX tasks.
Sure.
There are some differences.
Sure.
So we worked very hard to make sure that it integrates very well with PPL, so it feels very natural to C++ programmer. Mm-hmm. But good. In many ways, it is conceptually very similar
sure.
to PFX tasks. Yes.
Excellent.
So that's what it is. This is completely serial code. This is the code that where you can do something in between, and this is the best of two worlds where you can execute everything asynchronously.
And the important thing there is that since he didn't have to call get, he doesn't have a blocking operation. So it's not just sizing. He doesn't even have to have a blocking operation to get this work done.
Excellent.
So another way how to explain it is, I sometimes explain it in terms of bad manager versus good manager, right? As a bad manager, I go to Mike and say, I stand behind his back, watch over his shoulder, and say, execute function F, and I'm going to stand back here and wait. Execute function G, and I'm going to stand back and wait, right? This is where I go, execute F, and then I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. Right. I cannot go lunch because that's going to take too much time, but I'm going to get some coffee. And then I return.
Okay.
And this is where I say, execute F. When you're done with F, execute G. And you're done. And in the meantime, I'm going to go off and do something else.
And one subtle note here, the result of the first task T here mm-hmm. is actually copied to its continuations. So you can actually create a huge tree of continuations. It's not just a single chain node down. So you can create a huge tree of work that all can. You can set it up right up front and say, "This is what I want to happen in the order I want it to happen."
Nice.
And I think Mike, you can now show us how you can compose multiple tasks together by joining and creating joins and choices.
Sure. So.
And the operators.
Yep. In the operators, yes.
So. Okay. So we have this concept of when alls and when anys. So that. This, when you call when all, it returns you another task, which is completed when all of your tasks that you pass into it complete. So let me give you a quick example.
Sure.
So suppose you had already specified a few tasks. I'm just going to T0, T1, T2, and so forth. Mm. We have this function called when all, and it's given two iterators, a begin and end iterator, for which tasks you want to, in this set of tasks that you want to combine and wait all upon. So suppose these tasks are in some vector, let's say,
okay.
with v. We can just say v.begin, v.end. This, by itself, returns a task. This task completes when all those have registered as finishing. And from this, since this is returning a task, mm-hmm. you as the user can actually just say this dot continue with and give it another function to say when these are finished, this is what I'm going to execute.
Okay.
So what we've actually specified is for a when all, mm-hmm. the output of this task is a vector of these inputs. So these tasks actually have to be of the same type. They have to output the same type. But you can then go ahead and create your function which is given a vector of, let's say these are ins of your outputs.
Okay.
And whatever processing you want on that. Similarly, we have another function when any, which is given the same parameters, and you can do the exact same stuff. Continue with, and this actually returns. This returns a pair with the first value being the value of the test, the result value, and the second one being an index into your iterator of which one was the one that finished.
Okay.
So again, here you can create tasks that, let's say I had a whole bunch of tasks that are all executing. I don't care which one finished. I just need one of them to finish when any does that for you.
Nice.
To make things a little bit easier and kind of nicer, we introduced this concept of operators. So we almost create our own language here.
Cool.
So what you can do here is, let's say I had these tasks again, and all I have to do is say, if I want to do a when any between T0 and T1, I can just say T0, oops, and T1.
Well, that's a when all.
did I say when any guys? Yeah. Winall, sorry. This is the best of Winall. So Winall, this would say when these ones finish.
Okay.
Go ahead and.
And that's the syntax.
That's the syntax.
So you're going Lisp on me, man. Okay. All
so,
right.
And if you wanted to do so three of them, you just
you can
put
just
a,
can you get add another one.
And the and is the logical and.
Two.
Yes. So it's all.
Well, and means you're joining them, and join. Or means it's a choice.
So you get the same thing.
So or would be when any.
Yep.
Or when any, and this is when all.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you can build that.
You can
build what you want.
Yep.
Nice. Can so you combine?
Yes. Absolutely. T2, or whatever. T2, and oops, my ants are really awful there.
Yeah, those are hard to do on a whiteboard.
T1, or T0.
Nice.
And
okay.
Build up a tree.
Cool.
So you here you can build up your whatever tasks you want to do when these finish or that one finishes and so forth. So yeah, this is basically how you would compose them into large tree. Now, to make this actually work, I want to jump into one other little topic here.
Sure.
So when we in the PPL tasks library, there's actually two main classes. One is task, which Arthur just talked about and we're showing here.
Mm-hmm.
The other is called task completion event. So the point of the task completion event is sometimes you want, so if you've noticed, we say when you create a task, it is scheduled for execution unless it's a continuation. Sometimes you want a task to actually be completed in response to some external event. So
to be scheduled in the
task. Yes. So basically, the syntax here would be something like this. Task completion event. And again, it's given a type. So this is, you're going to set this task completion event with some value. So once again, let's say just pretend it's an int. My task completion event. I can create a task using this task completion event. So let's say task T using TCE. So this task will actually be registered as completed when you set this event.
Okay.
So so I can say T.continueWith and do the whole continueWith stuff that we just talked about. And that continuation won't actually happen until you set that event, because the event is what triggers this to happen. Now, where this comes in useful is for something like when-alls and when-anys. So I actually used this concept of task completion events to create, for example, when-any. So let's take a quick look at how that actually worked.
Okay.
So when-anys was given, let's say, two tasks, T0 and T1. What I do is I create a task completion event, and I can say T0... That's the first one in my when-all. Well, let's say when-any. It's a little easier to talk about. That's the first task of my when-any. I can just say continue with. And what I want this, when this one finishes, it's going to start its continuation. And it's going to say, it's going to have some result value from T0. And what I want his function to do is just say, actually, I need to pass in TCE.set with that value. So what that says is, as soon as T0, and I want to do the exact same thing with T1, so as soon as any one of these finish, its continuation will start.
Okay.
It'll say, set this event, where this task will be marked as completed. And I can return this task to the user. The user says, OK, now I want to continue when any one of those finish.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it has the logical sort of sequential flow in their actual code,
mm-hmm.
but obviously it's happening in parallel and just, you know, you're not blocking, which is a nice pattern.
And the idea is that any task can complete the event, so it's inherently racy, but the first one wins. And so whoever sets it first, we set the completion event and we return that as a new task. And then the user can continue off of that task again.
Cool. And I have to ask, so what is your policy when you have these long chains, these long continuations, and an exception happens in some...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's always a problem,
yeah,
right?
Interesting question. We actually debated that for a long time. Currently, the design is we just throw our hands in the air. We don't catch them. We don't try to marshal them in any way. We just say it is illegal for you to throw exceptions inside tasks. Now, this is this is debatable. Mm-hmm. When we ship the sample pack, we'll see what people think about it.
Okay.
We have a few backup solutions that we might have to.
So here's that plug, right? So Arthur just pointed out, we are going to ship you a sample pack.
Yes.
And if, we want you to use these tasks and then say, hey, I like this, or hey, I really need you to help me out with my exceptions.
Okay.
Right? If that's a problem, we're saying, maybe the best thing to do with exceptions is that you manage them, right? You do the try-catch and you figure out how you're going to do exceptions, because we're not really sure that there's a really great way of doing that.
Sure.
Especially if you have a long continuation chain and you throw in exceptions, what about all those other things you've queued up? How do you want to handle that?
Yeah.
Right. So that we think that's best to the application. That's why we made the decision. But if that logic is flawed, I want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, respond to us. We have forums. We have blogs.
Yeah.
We're easy to get to.
And since you're giving them code. You're giving them code.
Right. This is all header files.
They can make changes themselves.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
all right.
That's right.
That's really, really cool. I mean, I like the fact that that's the new kind of CTP model. Here's some code.
Work with it.
Of course, it's easier with header files than a whole big giant package of...
So actually, on that topic, there is one thing about the sample pack here that we're releasing that isn't fully functional compared to what we're going to release the next version of Visual Studio.
Okay.
And that's cancellation. So there's going to be some differences that we required some runtime changes. So it'll be partially working. There's some things that customers won't be able to see when the sample pack works. But let me talk about how this will actually work in the next version of Visual Studio. So if you look at Archer's example here, we created a task. It's going to run some function f.
Okay.
Anytime I could say key.cancel. So the version in the sample pack, if T hasn't started yet, I will mark it as canceled, and it won't run.
Okay.
Continuations off of that T will also not run. They'll be canceled. With the actual version in Visual Studio, one of the nicer things we were able to do is, if you were to add, we can compose well with all of the other algorithms and things that we've created in the PPL so far. So if, for example, within this task, you called parallel 4, cancel could actually go down and try to cancel that work, the same as we did in all of our other PPL algorithms trying to cancel them. So that's probably the main difference that you'll see here.
Okay.
That won't happen with the sample pack. We're trying to give users a feel for, first of all, the syntax, what we're trying to show, and I think otherwise everything else should work pretty well.
Sure. I mean, the syntax is nicely high level, so I think that should go over pretty well.
So for people who aren't used to Concert,
yeah,
they might say, well, if I have all these continuations, am I creating a whole batch of threads? And the answer is, that's what we have a runtime for, right? So these are all small bits of work that we schedule, and our scheduler knows how much hardware you have. Mm-hmm. So if you only have 4 cores, you're not going to be starting 60 threads. You're going to be starting 4 or more. You can actually limit how many you start or not. And those threads are like worker threads. And so we'll just run your tasks, and as task finishes, we'll pick up another task. And I have actually a whole talk from the last PDC about how that works.
Awesome. So we're going to have to link to that.
So that might be a good thing to link to. But so you can program with this continuations model without having to worry about the plumbing of your threads, and also worry about how much resources your machine has.
Excellent.
We take care of that in the runtime.
Interesting. And how do, in general, I mean, just to switch topic just a little bit, since we are talking about native developers, C++ developers in this case, when you say remove plumbing, it seems contradictory to what they expect and are doing anyway. Not as low as like the kernel dudes, but
this is
talk to me about that.
So we're in the C runtime. Okay, so the concurrency runtime is part of the 2010 C runtime. And for those of people who really need to know how this works, go look at the code, right? So we ship our source code for the C runtime. And part of that is the concurrency runtime. We're all part of the concurrency namespace.
Nice.
And concert.h and the concert.rm.h would be the header files to start with.
Perfect.
Okay.
Excellent. So, I mean, in some sense, tasks are abstractions over threads.
Yes.
Just like they were when we first announced them, what, 3 years ago? Even though we were talking about managed tasks.
Yeah.
It's still a very similar concept.
Very similar concept.
Which is great.
Task-based parallelism.
Just one last thing. I don't think we touched upon that topic enough. But what we also enable with tasks is the concept of fire and forget, which we did. Fire and forget.
Okay.
You can just, for example, if it's safe enough, depending on what your code is, you can just not do this at all. You can just write this and forget about it. Or, even not declare that. And just write that and forget about it. You don't have to have a variable or anything to hold on to that. You don't have to wait on to that if that's something that you want to run in the background.
Interesting.
That makes sense?
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. All but, right. Well, I mean, yeah.
If you have a variable, you can wait on it.
Sure.
Okay. So you guys do all the business of cleaning up resources and everything?
Yep.
Sounds like managed code, man.
Well, it is.
Do you have a garbage collector,
like,
too?
Somewhat like a managed code in that you... If you looked at the code, you never actually have to instantiate those classes with the new operator. Mm. You've never seen an arrow, right? It's always a dot, right? So all objects are passed by value. You never have to worry about explicitly allocating or deallocating memory.
Wow.
The runtime is taking care of that for you.
Perfect. And, you know, you mentioned modern C++. I mean, this is C++ OX. One of the killer features are lambdas.
Right.
Yeah. So obviously you're highly dependent upon them.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Now, for people out there, can you explain why? Right?
Why lambdas?
Yeah.
Well, it's actually very easy. The alternative is function pointers. Mm-hmm. And you can still put a function pointer in the constructor, and it will work. Mm. The advantage of a lambda is that you have everything you need in one place. You don't have to put a function pointer in the constructor and then define that function somewhere else.
Yes.
Right? It's all in one place. So it looks much nicer.
Absolutely agree. Cool. Excellent, man.
And if your lambda is so huge,
yeah,
maybe you do need a function pointer, right?
But that's a good point, though.
But the whole point is we're trying to provide fine-grained, parallelism.
Okay.
So that's not really huge.
Sure.
Right? You're going to be having small chunks of code that you put in a task.
Understood. I mean, but, in some sense, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we created the, concurrency freakout. Because of Herb Sutter's paper, which is a great paper, but just built up in this big giant, oh my God, what are we going to do? What are programmers going to do? I think in some sense, though, do you think that the programmers out there today, no matter how skilled they are, so we're talking about C++ developers, do they really understand when they want to use something like this and how to take advantage of it? So you just mentioned you use a small amount of code because that's what you want to do, break things up into little pieces, compute them, join them. Mm-hmm. Do people really get that model, though?
I mean, we want people to stop thinking about threads and start thinking in terms of independent or not independent units of work, right? So you have one piece of work, you compose it with another piece of work. You have two tasks, you join them together, what you get as a result is another task. And then concurrency, as somebody said, just happens.
Sure.
It just happens if the runtime decides that it's beneficial for you, that it is safe for you to execute those two chunks,
sure.
Two tasks in parallel.
Excellent. And again, it goes back to sort of when we talked to Craig Mundy when he first became the chief strategy officer, one of the things he said is, we need to make engineering a composable discipline.
That's good.
And so tasks are compositional. Threads aren't. Locks certainly aren't, right? Mm-hmm. So this is good stuff because now you're really talking about compositionality or composable software engineering for native people, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful stuff. Cool. So what else do you want to talk about in this particular segment?
I don't know. Do we have any other topics on tasks? I think that's
cool.
I think we pretty much covered the gist of it.
So people, download this. You're going to also see this URL, obviously, on the post on Channel 9. Download it. Look at the code. Play with the code. And give feedback.
Definitely let us know.
Give
feedback. Let them know, man.
We should have plenty of samples in the sample pack that showcase use of tasks. So please download, play with it, and give us feedback, anything you like or don't like. Very, very much appreciated.
Excellent. All right, so we will see you guys again soon.
Yes, we will.
Perfect.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, we got to get you to talk more, Vinod.
Right now?
No, we will.
Sure, thanks.
Cheers, man. Cheers.
Thanks, dude.